So this morning's reading is from Luke 1. We're reading from verse 67, and it's Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace." Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for today. Lord, we adore you today. Father, I pray for David just now as he opens up your word to us. We pray for your anointing on him by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for us as listeners to the word, that you would speak to us and you would change us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sarah, and hello everyone. So good to see you, those in the building and those connecting online. What a week it's been. You know, just over a week with the news of the new COVID variant, Omicron, I have to admit I could sense my anxiety levels rising. I don't know if you've felt the same. You know, fear is very real for many of us in these days. You know, fears of restrictions returning, and even this week, there's been some restrictions returning. Fears for our health, and the health of those that we know and love. Fears for our Christmas plans having to be changed or curtailed. You know, fears about the impact on jobs and roles, maybe our own, maybe those that we know. You know, I've been really helped this week, even as I've sensed some of those anxiety levels rising, by the words that the angels brought to Mary and then Zechariah. Do you remember how they started, the angels? Do you remember what they said? "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid," the angels said. They were kind of encouraging Mary and then Zechariah not to be afraid. And then they kind of go on to share this amazing good news with them, which causes first Mary and then Zechariah in the bit that we had so beautifully just read now. And then Trevor was so impressed with how you'd memorized that bit as well. I've been enjoying kind of getting into it and encourage you to memorize some of these songs or verses from them. And this kind of wonderful overflow of praise that kind of spills out of Mary and then Zechariah. You know, their hearts weren't actually filled in the end with fear, but with joy. And with song and praise. I wonder what your heart is filled with. You know, last week, as we started this Advent series on the songs of Christmas, I had the huge privilege of going into the children's work on Sunday morning. I wasn't involved in the service up front here, and so just had a chance to see what's going on behind the scenes and the amazing, brilliant work that Amanda and the team do with the children in the church. You know, it really touched my heart. I have to say, not just was I encouraged about what was happening, I was ministered to by what was happening, not just by the team, but by the kids themselves. As they shared some of the older ones' testimony with the younger ones about how God was speaking to them, as they did this little exercise, the team got the kids thinking about these four questions and about how they could kind of write their own song of praise to God. So the first one was, you know, "I want to praise you, God, by..." I put smiling. Because I was thinking, that's a way of kind of phrasing, I'm glad because. I wonder what you'd put there. And I'm thankful for. And then please help me when I feel anxious, when I feel discouraged. I wonder what you'd write. Well, one of the kids, they all kind of wrote stuff down in these different boxes and parts of the song. And then they kind of came back together and the manager said, you know, does anyone want to come and share what you'd written? And one of the girls, she came back in and she didn't just share what she'd written in terms of reading it out. She started singing out this song of praise to God that she'd written in the kids' work last week. Just like that, based on that. And it was so beautiful and so moving. It was like Mary's song all those years ago had inspired this child to sing. And I could sense my fear decreasing and my kind of praise and joy increasing even as I heard her sing her kind of spontaneous song of praise to God. And one of my longings as I've been coming through this week and as I've been preparing is that our hearts, however we're feeling, if our hearts are maybe full of anxiety or maybe apprehension even, that God would so wonderfully work in our hearts today and through this series, that we would have hearts that are not filled with fear, but filled with joy. Filled with song that overflows and spills out, that we would really, as we have chance through these weeks to sing carols and praise to God, that they would come with hearts full of praise. So that is my longing. And I want to ask then this morning, what was it that Zechariah was singing about? What was it that, you know, as we saw it sort of put dramatized like that, what kind of was spilling out in praise? Well, one of the things that I just thought so beautifully came across is that, you know, Zechariah had realized that God is faithful to his promises, even when they're kind of given up hope. Yet God was faithful to his promises, and Zechariah is full of joy and rejoicing in that. You know, we live in a world of so many broken promises. You know, it's disappointing, isn't it, when someone maybe close to us or in a position of authority breaks a promise that they've made. And yet the reality is that so often, you know, people don't keep their promises, and we even sometimes don't keep our promises because of two things. One, sometimes we deliberately do that. We sin, and there's sin has touched all of our lives. Oh, we really want to. We have good intentions. We mean to, but we're just too small, too little, too weak in a world where anything can happen. We maybe want to keep this promise, but actually circumstances outside of our control kind of overwhelm us, and we can't keep. You know, God is never overwhelmed by circumstances beyond his control. Amen? God is never going to do evil or wickedness. He never sins. He never misleads us. God is faithful to his promises, and that is what we're going to see here today, which kind of changes how we view everything. You know, often we see in our lives and in the scriptures that these two things are kind of closely linked together: anticipation and celebration. Anticipation and celebration. It was true then in our story, and it's true for us. And so I want to press into these things as we look at this passage together. And the first thing I want to say is embrace the anticipation. Embrace the anticipation. You know, Advent is a time of anticipation. You've got your Advent candles. You've probably got an Advent calendar. It might even have chocolate in it. And there's something of kind of going through this time and anticipating something wonderful that's coming. And it's not just the Christmas meal or turkey or kind of trimmings or even a few presents under the tree. You know, the Christmas story is full of anticipation of a whole nother scale. You know, for Zechariah and Elizabeth, there was the anticipation of, you know, they'd been waiting, 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 and even kind of given up
you know, hoping even for the birth of a child. But back where the drama started in Luke 57, we read, you know, when it was time for Elizabeth to have a baby, there came a moment when her anticipation was kind of turned into this kind of amazing celebration. In fact, even during her pregnancy, there would have been this sort of 9 months of knowing that something was happening. I mean, pregnancy is like one of the most amazing times of anticipation. You know, for Zechariah, those 9 months might have felt quite different. Forced into silence. You know, when we long for something, even if we're longing for the same thing as someone else, sometimes the kind of feeling of anticipation can be different for each of us, but we all have longings. You know, sometimes our longings are for individual things, and sometimes they're for things that we share with others. I wonder, what are you longing for at the moment? What are you longing for at the moment? You know, Zechariah and Mary and Elizabeth, and I can relate to this, and I'm sure many of you can. There was a longing they had for sort of a breakthrough. I mean, a breakthrough from the things that were weighing them down and kind of oppressing them. In Zechariah's time, it was the Romans. But, you know, we see in this song that it was kind of more than that, that he was feeling oppressed for. In our time, we might feel it's this kind of pandemic that seems to go on and on. But, you know, actually, there's more than that that we want release from and rescue from. And so Zechariah begins his song of praise. Look with me at verse 68. He says this: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people." This theme of redemption, of being redeemed, is kind of a word that's taken from the imagery of slaves being set free. You know, there was this occupation of the people of Israel by the Romans. And he goes on and talks about feeling like they're you know, oppressed, and they have people who hate them, and they feel like slaves in their own land. And yet there's also, as it goes on, we see that it's not just a political foe. There's a kind of spiritual foe. There's forces of evil. There's problems in their lives that actually can only be kind of unlocked through forgiveness, as we're going to see later. And, you know, the problems they faced with the Romans were massive problems. But there was a problem even greater than that. The problem we face in our world of this pandemic is a massive problem. But there's a problem even greater than that. And one of the things that we long for, one of the things we kind of anticipate and hope, and I think we kind of thought maybe a few weeks ago it might be closer to an end than we realize it might, but we kind of anticipate, oh, please, may it one day be finished. But actually, the challenges in our world are far greater than a pandemic. The injustice, the need for godly government, not kind of corrupted with sleaze and scandal. The need for lives where we can really be free from the things that kind of trap us and ensnare us. Where we can live as God intended us to live. Psalm 68, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people." And then this wonderful thing that he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. If you look in the footnote, you'll see that this horn kind of symbolizes a strong king. You know, there's this anticipation that there would be kind of redemption. There would be kind of people being set free, and that this would come, you know, not just in a kind of a spiritual way that wouldn't really be felt, but actually in a way that really would bring new leadership, something wonderful that would come, a strong king raised up to bring salvation for us, a king of the house of his servant David. This is the longing for a better king, a better leader, that was a good and right longing, and that Zechariah, as he kind of had spent these last kind of 3 months with Mary having arrived partway through Elizabeth's pregnancy, and then seeing kind of her bump grow and the baby Messiah inside her, this kind of hope and confidence and anticipation that a king is coming, one who would bring this rescue, this salvation, this one who would bring the rescue that verse 70, look at this with me. This one who raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. I wonder, it's got brackets in my version. I've not got to the bottom of this, but I wonder when he sung if he did the brackets, you know, but this kind of sense that I'm sure was there that Zechariah had been spending time thinking about God's promises in those silent 9 months. He'd been thinking and reflecting on things maybe he knew well, but he'd kind of thought, maybe, is this ever going to happen? And then he reads God's word again, and it's like, wow, this is that. God is working as he promised. And he goes on to have this amazing kind of overflowing praise in the God who's able to fulfill his promises. But it wasn't like that right at the start for Zechariah. You know, when the angel came, Zechariah didn't have confidence that God was going to work. He'd been kind of come so accustomed to his longings being unfulfilled and his prayers unanswered that he wasn't ready for God's angels to bring this kind of angelic message that the longing that he had kind of wanted was now about to appear. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to that sometimes in my life. There are things I long for, things that I've hoped would happen, and they maybe haven't happened. Disappointments that we go through, and those can then end up shaping my view of the future rather than the promise of God. So let me ask you at the moment, is your view of the future being shaped by your disappointments or by the promises of God? You know, are you anticipating a future which is basically a continuation of your disappointments? Or are you anticipating a future which is the fulfillment of God's amazing promises? You know, as you look out in these weeks ahead, it's amazing how actually we can still have the longing. Zechariah still had the longing, but there was no expectation. No expectation that God was going to work. That had gone in him. And yet that gets turned around in Zechariah. And it can get turned around in you and I. It gets turned around so that he goes on in this song of praise and he talks about this salvation from our enemies. Look with me, verse 71. And from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. There it is again. He's remembering the promises of God, the covenant, the oath. And he's saying, God is going to do this wonderful thing to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, verse 74, and listen to this, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. I've been loving this picture. You know, if there's a sense that anxiety is maybe rising in many, and even sometimes in our own hearts, how wonderful to have this promise that God is going to, look what it says, to enable us to serve him without fear in righteousness and holiness all our days. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And, you know, as we go on here, Elizabeth and Zechariah, They're praising God with this wonderful confidence, even though they're not yet seen all this happen. I mean, they've simply got a baby in their arms, and it's their baby John, and he's the one who's going to point to, as we see, even this wonderful king that's coming. But they haven't seen the Romans push back. They haven't seen all the promises of God fulfilled, but they're seeing something that is massive, that is making them realize, you know what? God's at work. God's at work. And this is reason to sing. This is reason to celebrate. And so I want to just secondly and lastly just talk about sharing the joy. You know, Zechariah's response to the angel back in verse 18 of chapter 1 was this. You know, this is what he says. How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. It's a doubtful response rather than a joyful response. It's a response that's focused on him and what he can do or not do, as we so often think, rather than on God and what God is doing and can do. So how does this man, whose response is doubtful at first, change to a heart that's full of joy and who's singing? Well, two things change. Listen to these. Zechariah comes to the place where he gets full of faith again that God's promises are sure. God will work out his promise. His promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth that they will have a child. Initially he thought, what, really? Me? No way. And yet God did it. He's worked it out. And so his faith grows that God is able to work out his promises. But he doesn't start there in his song, because something else has changed. It's not just that God has fulfilled his promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth in baby John. God is going to fulfill his promises to Israel in baby Jesus. This wonderful promise of this Savior, this Redeemer, the Messiah who is coming, this is also being worked out. And so the tenses in these verses are amazing. They've got this sense of this is kind of already happening because of the confidence that he has now in the promises of God. Zechariah becomes full of faith where there'd been doubt. So that's the first thing that changed. And then secondly, we see in verse 67 this wonderful little phrase. Do you want to look with me in your Bible? His father Zechariah was filled with, what does it say? The Holy Spirit. He doesn't just get full of faith, he gets filled with the Spirit. The Spirit comes on Zechariah. And when you're full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing the joy that flows and the songs that start in your heart. And when you're not full of those things, when you're full of fear and doubt, it's amazing how hard it is to sing and know joy and peace. But you know, I've been taking great heart. Because if God could turn around Zechariah, this old man, who was full of doubts, and then aware of his failure, because he'd even got rebuked by the angel and disciplined for what he'd done, that you and I, when we maybe have doubts or fears or an awareness of our failure, God is able to turn us around, to turn our hearts to singing hearts full of praise. God is able to help us look not just to his promises and remember that they're true, but to look to this wonderful one who's come to fulfill the promises. Look with me at these great verses of verse 76 and 77. It's not just that he's kind of seeing this child. He's seeing the one the child is going to point to. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through their forgiveness of their sins. This is how we're going to enable us to serve him without fear and righteousness and holiness, because of the forgiveness of sins. You know, this is this wonderful kind of picture that goes on in verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God. You see, these promises aren't just for Zechariah. These promises are for you and I. It's not just that Zechariah's sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be forgiven. It's not just that God wants to show mercy to Zechariah. He wants to show mercy to us. It's not just that God is going to dispel the darkness in Zechariah's life and world. He's going to dispel it in our life as well. Because he goes on and says, the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. You know, this week, one of the challenging things that was kind of added to all this kind of, oh, what's it going to mean for the future, was that Jonah, in the middle of the week, started getting unwell. There was one night in the middle of the week where he really wasn't well at all. He wasn't sleeping good, and he didn't sleep well, and we didn't sleep well, and I was up with him at about 5:30 in the morning, and he said to me, Daddy, when is it going to be day? When's it going to be light? He wanted this night to be over. He was longing for the dawn. He was anticipating. He knew it was coming. And you know, the dawn came. The light kind of shone. The night was over. The kind of terrible night he'd had passed. And as the sun came in, he actually at that point started to rest better. And as the day came and kind of grew, that was actually the day that he kind of started to turn around a bit and praise God. As we then took him for, as we'd done negative lateral flows and took him for a PCR, and that was -2. Lots of people praying, praise God. And then, you know, he's just improved as the week's gone on, and it's been wonderful. And yet, you know, so often when we're not feeling great, the nights are worse. But the day, it's like the peace flows, that the light comes. You know, we can breathe more easily. And Jesus is the rising sun who comes to us from heaven, who dispels our darkness, who comes and brings his peace, his mercy into our lives and situation. Do you need his light? Do you need that rising sun to come on you? Well, one of the wonderful things about this Advent time is we do kind of three things. We look back to his first coming. God said that he would send a savior, and he did. He has come. Zechariah's faith grew because he saw something of the fulfillment of God's promises. And for you and I, we also see in the same events the fulfillment of God's promises that stir faith in us. He has come that first Christmas. And then Jesus, as he grew up, he promised that he was going to send his spirit. And what did he do? He did it. He sent his spirit. He's poured out his spirit on young and old, on all people everywhere. We can be filled with his spirit even today. And then Jesus said, I'm going to come again and make all things new. All the things that you long for most will one day be completely done. I've begun it now, and I'm going to complete it then. He will work it out because he is faithful to his promises. And so, brothers and sisters, today, whatever's going on in your hearts, let's look again to Jesus. Let's come as we prepare for communion, this meal that reminds us of Jesus' death, that our Savior has come, and this King, this strong King, has become a servant, willing to die for us, willing to wash our feet and wash our lives and our hearts, that we might live afresh and serve him without fear and righteousness and holiness. This King who's come to lift us, the King that's come to fill us with his spirit afresh today. This King who's ascended, he died, he rose, he ascended into heaven, he's poured out his spirit, and he will come again. And so today I want to get us to just pause in his presence, to pray and ask him afresh to come and fill us, to allow faith to stir. And so maybe if you were able just to look at this prayer on the screen here, I want to invite us to pray this together, whether you're watching on home or here in line. It just simply says, God, thank you for your faithfulness. I believe your word and I trust your promises. Jesus, I come to you now. Please forgive my sin, which he promises he will do. Bring your light into my life and help me follow you on the path of peace. Please fill me afresh with your spirit and your joy. Amen. I wonder if we could stand together, and the band are going to come forward. And even as we prepare communion, I just invite you to echo this prayer with me in your heart now. So let's just be still. The Lord knows you. He loves you. Come, the rising sun from heaven, shine in our lives. If you feel able, you might want to echo this prayer. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Yeah, do speak it out loud if you would feel able. Thank you for your faithfulness. I believe your word and trust your promises. Jesus, I come to you now. Please forgive my sin. Bring your light into my life. Help me follow you on the path of peace. Fill me afresh with your spirit and your joy. Amen.